Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Reckless speculation.
Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday here on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd. Your home for daily Minnesota sports entertainment, therapy, and speculation on Thursdays, especially.
Reckless speculation.
All right, the ground rules are for people that are new, because sometimes people get confused, like, what? You guys are crazy. What?
Never gonna happen, Mackie.
This is a safe space to explore fun hypotheticals. Could be stuff that's rooted in reality too. Could be stuff that's like percolating underneath your feet. But it's a safe space. Okay, we throw out ideas and theories, and we look to try and make our Minnesota sports teams better for the long haul. And so today we're going to do another dive into the latest Karl-Anthony Towns trade fodder. I feel like, I don't know about you guys, maybe I'm just getting hit with like the algorithm.
But oh, you
every
are.
Time I log no, into you social are. Media, it's like
1,000% you are.
There's just like people workshopping new Karl-Anthony Towns trade ideas. And now you've got the Blazers fan base that's, and I don't know, some of these other fan bases look at Kat a little bit sideways. Like, is he really a guy that you're going to give up the number 3 pick for? But it is funny that the internet basically continues to crowdsource trade ideas involving Karl-Anthony Towns. So I've got a bunch of new iterations for you guys today.
All right, let's hear them.
And I think, well, gosh, where should we go here? It's funny to see like what other fan bases, how other fan bases view the value of your players, right? Because if you're a Timberwolves fan, you're like, all right, Carl drives me nuts, but he's a third team All NBA right. guy, and he's a unicorn, well, and he's one of the best 3-point shooters.
And, you know, at this time a year ago, if Jazz fans were workshopping a Gobert trade, though, in their wildest dreams, they could have never workshopped the trade that occurred, right? Like, you that never would have thought, you know, I love Gobert. He's been here forever. What could we get back? You would never think, what, 5 draft picks and a slew of players?
Yeah, so, it is funny because like all the
reckless,
reasons,
but it happens.
Yeah, well, all the reasons why we sit here and put limitations on a potential Cat trade, like, well, I mean, yeah, he fails in the playoffs, or you could apply a lot of the same stuff to Rudy Gobert and say, well, I mean, he got played off the court a couple times in the playoffs before the Jazz traded him and doesn't have much of an offensive repertoire. He is one of the best defensive players that we've seen in 20 years, but yeah, he wasn't. Like these, some of these Supermax players that aren't really the best players, they just. Basically, if you're a top 20 player in the NBA, you become a supermax player in your late 20s and you get, you know, like Jaylen Brown, for instance. He's a really good player. Not a great dribbler, probably not the best guy on a championship team, but because he's one of the 15 to 18 best players in the league, he's about to get a 5-year, was it $296 million contract from the Celtics?
Yep.
So I think my biggest question about Carl and Gobert, and then anyone that you would trade for, like in that supermax level, like a Jaylen Brown, are they worth handcuffing your cap situation by keeping them on your team or by trading for them? So, anyways, this first one's from Yahoo Sports.
Reckless speculation.
And this is an example of other fan bases don't perceive your players value-wise the same way that you do, right? So I'm just going to read this from Yahoo. Most likely for Brooklyn to put itself, so Brooklyn Nets, for Brooklyn to put itself in the contender conversation, they will need to make a big splash with the trade or hitting on draft picks. According to Vincent Frank of SportsNot.com. So SportsNot just throws out crazy trade ideas. Safe space.
God bless them.
The Nets could make that splash by trading a highly coveted player within the Timberwolves organization.
Oh.
Karl Anthony Towns. Here's the trade. The Timberwolves would receive Mikal Bridges and Joe Harris. So Bridges, 27 years old, exceptional wing player, plays defense, great three-point shooter, a little undersized at 6'6" if you want to play him at the three, but as a shooting guard, where I think Brooklyn had him in the second half of the season, now he's a bigger shooting guard at 6'6", and he scored like 26 points a game. He's just a really good player at 27 years old, and his contract is one of the most team-friendly in basketball. $23 million a year for the next 3 years, average, okay? Mm-hmm. Joe Harris, more of a salary filler. He's only under contract for one more year, but he's 32. But he's one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA.
Yes, he is.
So you'd be getting a sniper shooter for a year. Maybe you extend him, but he doesn't quite fit the Anthony Edwards age curve, but he's a salary filler.
Yep.
So you get these two guys, Bridges as the main guy, Harris as the salary filler, but absolutely a good rotation player. And the Nets would get Karl Anthony Towns, 2 second-round picks, and Jaden McDaniels.
Whoa, 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 what? So what else is going to come to the Wolves?
Reckless
nothing.
Speculation.
I mean, Mikal Bridges, you could argue, is the best player in this trade. You could argue.
Okay.
I think Towns has put up bigger numbers for longer, but if you surveyed the league and said, you can only have one of these guys, Karl or Mikal Bridges, a lot of people would say Mikal Bridges.
But you're going to give up 2 second-round picks, which, okay, and Jaden McDaniels?
Also, Bridges' contract is part of it, too, in that you would – so if you're the Timberwolves and you view Karl Anthony Towns as kind of an albatross contract for the next 5 or 6 years, because now all of a sudden he's going from $36 million to $50 up to $60 million, right?
Sure.
You could just, like, get rid of that and have Mikal Bridges for half of that for 3 years. And then you would clear out. You'd be part of this is avoiding the luxury tax penalty.
Yeah,
going forward too.
That trade reeks of desperation, and Jaden McDaniels is not being traded. So I hate that one.
I don't think Jaden's being traded either, but I also think Tim Connelly is open to discussions if it makes the team better. But I agree with you. You'd be taking Karl, and you'd be plucking the sidekick for Anthony Edwards, one of the best perimeter defenders. I wouldn't do this trade either, just to be clear. But it's an interesting look at how other teams and fan bases look at Jaden and say, he's a good player, but like, he's not what you guys think he is.
I don't hate the idea of clearing out Cat to absorb a much more conducive cap hit in Mikal Bridges, but giving up Jaden with that, I'm out. The second round picks are whatever. Take the second round picks. Don't care about those. But
sorry, Dex.
I don't think I can pair out Jaden McDaniels with it either.
So if I'm Conley, though, and I think we've discussed this previously in the reckless speculation lifestyle that we lead when it comes to this potential trade, if I'm Conley, I need to feel like I am winning this trade. So like if I'm going to trade Cat, I'm not doing it because I'm desperate. I'm not doing it even if I am a little bit desperate. I need to win this trade. So, like, I'm not throwing in fillers and blah, blah, blah. I am trading you what I hope you assume is a great player. We know he's a great talent. So I need to feel at least a semblance of what the Jazz must have felt on the day that they traded Gobert here, which is, okay, I did really well.
Yeah, I agree. I love Mikal Bridges. But then again, too, if you acquire Mikal Bridges, I don't know if the starting lineup can be, let's say, Conley or point guard, future point guard, Ant at the two, because Ant's not a point guard, Ant's a two. Right. Mikal Bridges is like a 2-3, and Jaden McDaniels is a really skinny 6'9" guy who you're probably not playing at the four very often going forward. So like, it would be a weird deal where I don't know that those guys would all fit in the same starting lineup together. Would McDaniels come off the bench and get his 30 minutes that way? So let's keep going here. Mm-hmm. Actually, before I keep going, you brought up the word desperation. There is a little bit of organizational desperation that's 12, 15 months on the horizon here. And Canis Hoopus did a great job this week in an article laying out what lies ahead now that the new CBA is in play here. The NBA is trying to make it a lot harder to build like three-headed monster dynasties, essentially. They want to make it so that you got your two guys, and then you can build out your roster beyond that. And severe penalties loom for teams that push up against the second apron above the luxury tax. I won't get into all the weeds here, but basically, like, if the Wolves stand pat and don't trade, if they don't trade one of their big contract guys in the next year, or if they don't get rid of basically all of their semi-highly paid role players and replace them with veteran minimum guys or like draft picks, they're going to run into some major penalties. You're going to run into, you know, not being able to use a mid-level exception. You're going to run into not being able to trade future draft picks that are more than 5 years out. Like, there's this like restrictions that the NBA puts on teams that get too far in the luxury tax. So to avoid going into that second apron of the luxury tax in a year from now, they have to trade either Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, or get rid of like all other players who make money and fill the roster with nothing. So you could wait a year and deal with it. But if you get 12 months down the road, every team in the NBA that you would be talking to knows that you're desperate at that point to get under the second apron of the luxury tax. So I'm just saying, like, Tim Connelly's, despite what some Wolves fans think, is not an idiot. He knows this is looming in a year from now, which means now would be the best time with the most leverage to trade a guy like Karl Anthony Towns. So
absolutely.
That's even more reason not to settle, by the way, on a trade like the Brooklyn one.
Right, exactly. You are still, and here's the thing with Cat too. So Cat here, as far as the playoffs, certainly has not worked out. But if Cat went to the right team, he could probably be a very effective playoff player in the right environment, right? So like, if I trade him and you throw back at me, well, look at his playoff failures. He's not as good as people think, blah, blah. And you know what? There's some validity to that. But what I'm going to say is, if you are the right team for him, and he does not have to be, as Phil said so many years ago, the man, and he is a complimentary player because he'd be damn good there. And he didn't have the pressure of feeling that it was his team. I think you'd be trading a very valuable asset. Of course, it would have to be to the right team.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to another team. Maybe he's the right fit for this next team.
Reckless speculation.
A team that just made a big coaching change, looking to shuffle things up, maybe spark something after winning a championship a few years ago. And this is from Sports Knot again, just shoveling fun ideas into our timeline here. Yep. So the Timberwolves would get from Toronto Pascal Siakam and the number 13 overall pick in this year's draft. Now, I get it, like, you can't technically trade Cat for a week or two after the draft, but in that case, Toronto would make the pick for you, and then you would, it happens in the NBA. So the Wolves would get Pascal Siakam and the number 13 overall pick, and Toronto would get Karl Anthony Towns. They would get 5 years of Karl Anthony Towns. So this is the rest of the write-up, and then I'll explain more here. For the Timberwolves, this would clear the way for Rudy Gobert to be the main big featured big man. It wouldn't be a Twin Tower situation. They would add a big-time talent in Siakam who could take on some of the scoring load left by Towns. Adding in the number 13 pick would give Minnesota a chance to add another young talent to the roster moving forward. So a couple things on this. Siakam, he would play power forward. He's a 6'9". Very versatile power forward who can kind of double as a wing in some ways, the way that he plays. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists last season, and he's led the NBA in minutes per game the last 2 years, too. He's just a guy that can just go and be out there for like 37, 38 minutes. The problem is you'd actually be getting older here because he's 29 years old, and he only has 1 year left on his contract. So you'd be shifting further, because one of the appealing reasons to maybe trade Cat for some assets is if those assets more closely align with the Anthony Edwards age timeline. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards is 21, going to be 22. Jaden McDaniels aligns. Naz Reid aligns, right? If you were to get the, you know, the number three pick from the Blazers, whoever you would draft there is 19 years old and aligns more closely than maybe a 27 or a 29-year-old.
Yep.
But Siakam is also really good and would probably fit very well in, you know, what the rest of the lineup looks like. But you'd be trading for what you'd be trading 5 years of cat for 1 year of Pascal Siakam and the 13th overall pick. He would be an absolute flight risk to go sign somewhere else in free agency.
That's a no for me, dog.
This is a yes for me, dog. I honestly love this idea.
I love Siakam. I love Siakam for sure. Yeah.
I like Siakam a lot. I like getting the 13th overall draft pick and having a potential another complimentary piece there that's going to be under a rookie scale contract for 4 years. Now, here's the only question I have, because I'm not as into the salary cap situation. So you have Siakam, and what's his salary going into that final year?
Is almost exactly the same as Cats. $37 million. Cats $36 million.
So let's say Siakam then walks. How does it work with you? You just have $37 million to play with, and you lose that slot, not. Right?
Because this is where the NBA gets really complicated. Once you're over the salary cap, which the Wolves would still be, let's say you're, and I don't have it in front of me. Let's say you're like $19 million over the salary cap and a $35 million player comes off your books. You would not get $35 million to play with necessarily. You would get like the difference as you go under the cap. So they would lose that salary cap slot, which is what they were worried about with D'Lo. If D'Lo's 30 came off the books, they weren't like under the cap, so they would just like lose that. That's why having Conley at 20 or 25 for another year or two extends it. But at a certain point, you're taking all these contracts into luxury taxville. And do A-Rod and Lori want to pay a $40 million luxury tax bill and get hit with like these roster constraining stipulations? So at some point, you're probably going to have to just say goodbye to a chunk of money or one of these max salary spots anyways.
I'm still in on this. I think I'm in on this. I want Siakam, who's a veteran who can play and is very just a Swiss Army knife, and I want the 13th overall kid that I can build around for 4 years as a complimentary piece. I'm in on this trade. I like
another thing you could do real quick is you could extend Siakam, but he's going to be 30 years old then in a year from now, and you could trade Gobert in a year if you thought that Siakam was a better fit for this puzzle than Karl Anthony Towns, and you didn't want to deal with like, you know, paying Towns $50 million in a couple years.
Get me at the very least a top 10 pick.
Well, 13th isn't you're splitting hairs there a little bit.
I agree.
Yeah, but I don't want an aging play. The problem is, I think, Phil, that you are right in they're going to want to get players that fit into the timeline because they're always fighting this fight against the timeline. And if Ant is truly the guy, then I want, and he should be, I want to pick a high draft pick that I can plug in. I want players I can plug in, not be concerned about is player X, as good as he might be, going to turn around and walk and or just start to age out.
And for the record here, I'm kind of playing like all sides here in this discussion. I don't know that I would run to the table to complete this trade either. There's some interesting reasons to consider this, but I generally, if you have an asset like Towns, and even with his flaws, he is an asset.
Yes.
Rudy Gobert with his flaws was an asset, and you saw what the Jazz got for. So if you have an asset like this and you're going to make a trade, you should be very intentional about the things that you get back and them aligning with Anthony Edwards for the long haul, I think, right?
Yes.
And that brings us to the next couple of trade ideas presented by our friends at Livia, helping Score North listeners lose a lot of weight over the past couple of years. Change your life.
Speaking of ideas, speaking of programs that work, I'm going to tell you right now, I dropped now a couple of years back, actually, we're coming up on the 2 year anniversary of when I started on this program, dropped 40 pounds. The most important thing is my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers are not only going to help you drop the weight, they're going to help you maintain the weight loss. And that's the most important thing. And right now, have I got a deal for you, and it ends tomorrow. So you want to contact them ASAP. The 1 week special offer that's on now, it's called Livia's Premier All Access Offer. 50% off plus a free gift. 50% off the program plus a free gift. You could lose up to, get this, 15 pounds or more by the 4th of July. Imagine in July down 15 pounds, feeling great, clothes fit. It's outstanding. And then you're going to maintain that weight loss. Again, the offer ends Friday, 855-GO-LIVIA, livia.com. LIVEA.com is your ticket to summer weight loss and success that's going to continue into the fall.
Also, it's riding season here, so whatever you ride, a Harley, an Indian, metric cruiser, sport bike, if you like to get out, all you Ragnars out there, if you like to get out and enjoy the summer months on the road, Dennis Kirk has you covered so you can ride more and weight less. Over 180,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. Shipping is free for orders over $89. If you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day. Everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Reckless speculation.
All right. From our friends at Canis Hoopus. Good stuff. Excellent there. Timberwolves.
Yes.
Thought leader platform. Dude, the Timberwolves blog and podcast sphere is so good.
It's very good.
It's so
they don't deserve it. Like, who they're great. The Wolves don't deserve the type of coverage that they get. The Wolves don't deserve. Like, it's really, really highbrow. Like, you would think that the Wolves are good.
Dude, it's amazing. Like,
the bloggers do a great job.
And it just spins out more and more talented people over the years. And, you know, so my guy Kyle Tige. And by the way, Craig Kilborn going to make another appearance on Flagrant House today. Lord Kilby.
Oh, boy.
My nice. My brunch friend Craig Kilborn is going to come on and speculate.
Name drop.
Is it a name drop if he's, like, if I'm promoting that he's going to be on the podcast?
No, brunch friend is, though.
A little bit of a look at me, Louie, kind of moment there, if you will, there, Phil.
He's but my that's brunch friend.
Yeah, no, but brunch friend, it's a definite brag. Mm-hmm. The fact
I think
going
he's
to be
probably
on
bragging,
podcast,
bragging to his friends that he got to go get brunch with Phil Mackey. No?
I'm sure some folks at different stations in this town are a little bit jealous of that one.
Oh, that's fine. Stations. Such an old word. Okay, Canis Hoopus.
It's the radio.
Canis Hoopus. Here's a three-team trade. Actually, no, let's start with this one. This is a more simple one. All right, so this would be just a Timberwolves-Blazers trade. The Blazers would get Karl Anthony Towns to pair up with Damian Lillard. The Wolves would get Anfernee Simons, of a combo guard who scores 20-some points a game. He's young, like 23 years old. Defense, very optional, but an electric scorer.
Could be a problem. Okay.
Nasir Little, who's more of just a salary match guy, just kind of a rotational wing player. And the number 3 overall pick.
Yep.
Just a very simple, clean one for one trade with you know, instead of a 4-team trade.
Now we're cooking.
Okay.
Now we're cooking with gas. This is what I want. Because the number 3 pick is going to be an immediate contributor. It's going to fit in with Ant perfectly timeline-wise. And so, yes, this is my idea of what would be a very fair trade.
Yeah, because you might say, well, wait a second.
About this.
You know, Carl's only like 5 years older than Ant. The guy you drafted would be 4 years younger. So, right. But as Ant emerges into his prime, you'd like the 19-year-old to become 23, 24, as opposed to the 27-year-old becoming 32 in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. And Scoot Henderson, there's some flaws there. Like, he's not the greatest shooter, but there's a lot to like. Energizer Bunny, think kind of Russell Westbrook type, but maybe with a little bit more self-awareness as a basketball player. That's kind of how he projects. So I'm very interested in this type of a trade, but let's throw it to our Portland Trailblazers insider here, Declan Goff.
Well, this is pretty similar to what you proposed, right? Like a month ago. I mean, they might have just ripped it off. They might have just
birth this whole idea a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
It's just more of trying to figure out if Kat and Dame fit together and if the Blazers want that pair. I don't know if the Blazers want just Kat and Dame, and that all of a sudden makes them the team to beat in the West. So
it doesn't. That's the thing. Cause I've heard that pushback a lot of like, well, the Blazers aren't going to win the title with Lillard and Kat. I don't care what if they're desperately willing to make a trade to get a secondary player.
Right.
Who are we to judge? The Timberwolves made a trade for Gobert and the league said, well, they're not a contender by making that trade. It's okay. It's the Wolves were still desperate enough to make the trade at the time, right?
Right. Right.
Well, and there has to be a decent portion of teams that privately think that the Wolves are such buffoons that they've screwed up Cat and that they can fix him. Like, that has to be a theory, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Cat is as like universally loved outside. I think the same things that we have feared about Cat or that we criticize Cat for, I think those are now percolating more outside of Minnesota too. Maybe not at the level that, you know, angsty Wolves fans really want him out, but I think the writing on the wall is people kind of now know who Cat is. Where 4 years ago when they were doing, you know, drafts of what players would you start a franchise with, and Cat was one of the first few guys you could start a franchise with. He has fallen off from that tier one. Mm-hmm. He's clearly in like the 30 to 20 range of the best NBA players.
But there's got to be like a savior sort of feeling that if you look at the track record of this organization since KG left, how many players didn't live up to what the expectations were and then went somewhere else in a different role and thrived and or won a ring, right? Kevin Love, Andrew Wiggins, you know, it's.
And teams don't think like fans. So teams are haughty enough to say, oh, we can fix him. Now fans might say exactly what Declan said, which is I'm sort of out on Cat, but I could see at least a handful of teams saying, if we got that guy, those buffoons in Minnesota, they've screwed him up, we'll fix him. And that's all you need them to think.
Yeah, I got one more for you here from Canis Hoopus. So this is, god dang it, man.
Reckless speculation.
It's a little bit similar for the Timberwolves, but it's a three-team trade. And here's what it looks like. So the Timberwolves, well, I'll do them last. The Celtics would get Karl Anthony Towns, Torian Prince. Dude, this is the same stuff that we send out Towns and Prince, right?
Wow.
Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not accusing them of anything. This is just smart people come to the same.
The accusations are flying. Make no mistake about it. I'd like to apologize to our friends.
The Celtics would get Kat and Torian Prince from the Timberwolves. Okay. And they would get a 2026 first round pick from the Blazers. So a future first round pick from the Blazers. The Blazers would get Al Horford and Jaylen Brown from the Celtics. So the swap there with the Blazers and Celtics would basically be coming in for the Celtics would be Towns and Prince. Going out would be Jaylen Brown and Al Horford. So you'd be getting Horford's kind of aging out. He's a really good player, but he's getting old. And you would say goodbye to him, replace him with Towns, and then Jaylen Brown with Torian Prince as a role player. And then the Timberwolves, for them sending out Towns and Prince to the Celtics, would get Anthony Simons, the third overall pick, and then two salary fillers in Nasir Little, and then you'd get Luke Kornet he's a big man from the Celtics that's just a guy, mm-hmm. just to fill out a couple extra $X million. Mm-hmm. So you'd be sending out Prince with Towns, but you'd be getting pretty much the same thing with a couple salary fillers, Anthony Simons and the number three overall pick.
I'd do this.
And it kind of like...
I would do it.
It makes sense for the Blazers in that, okay, again, we could debate whether they're actually a championship contender or not. That's the point is they want to get better desperately in their last year or two with Damian Lillard, right? That's the motivation. So the Blazers would then have Damian Lillard, Jaylen Brown as a backcourt, Al Horford, and whatever he has left in the tank. I would assume then that they would bring back Jeremy Grant, who averaged 20.5 points, you know, 5 rebounds, a couple assists last year. And then whatever else you can fill the roster out with. I mean, that's a pretty good group of players to push forward with. And Shaedon Sharpe, too, would probably elevate and play 25, 30 minutes. So, interesting. Mm-hmm. Celtics get a shakeup. Blazers get actual adults around Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Wolves get Anthony Simons and the number three overall pick.
Unfortunately, I don't think the teams like the Wolves and Blazers necessarily, in reality, are making these deals to be championship teams like immediately. I think they just want to be competitive, right? And make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think the conversation is that trade going to land Declan's team, the Trailblazers, an LOB? I think the conversation is, does it get them in the tournament? Does it make them competitive?
Yeah, and they need to take a step, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think we're going to, well, Dame's going to win a championship. I think we're going to, Dame is going to at least have a chance probably to end his career on a respectable franchise again.
Yep. So it sounds like this show is kind of, if the opportunity presented itself in some form to send out Kat and bring in the number three overall pick and another piece like an Anfernee Simons, that this show is highly interested in that discussion.
Oh, hell yeah. I told you, I'm out on Kat. I've seen enough. It's an attitude that I don't like. It's a woe is me on the court I don't like. It's a lack of understanding of situations I don't like. So yeah, I'm done. I like what you said, Phil, about the explanation of why it behooves them to trade him now. Now, I am not going to give him away. I'm not going to, if I'm Conley, I'm not going to hang up the phone and be like, oh, okay, we dumped him at least. I want to hang up the phone and feel like I at least might have a chance to win said trade, if not outright won the trade. But I am fully on board. Even if he goes elsewhere on a different team and is successful, I am fully on board with trading Kat.
Reckless speculation.
I think Boston, the market would be a problem for him. Portland would be great.
That'd be fine.
He could go settle into the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of pressure in Boston. That's a good point.
I saw a video from him on his Instagram today, Kat, that is, of like doing deep sea dive, like training regimen. And he was like having a basketball. He was like throwing it to Jordan Woods and doing low impact training or something.
I'm had enough.
Maybe, but like that's called a vacation with your girlfriend,
which is cool. But yeah,
that's fine. You can vacation with your girlfriend, but don't frame it like it's, oh, we're doing deep sea basketball training. It's like, you're vacationing with your girlfriend and posting on Instagram.
Yeah, throw me that basketball, Jordan. Yeah.
My honeymoon, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm like, I'm resetting my podcast space to deliver more takes when, you know, I'm on a Bora Bora or wherever I'm going to go in a year and a half or something. That'll be what I'm doing.
Yes. It's us time together as we get better professionally too. So, all right. Yeah. Let us know if you guys have ideas for Kat trades. We can make this. I mean, there's probably a month left of this because then the actual rubber hits the road with the draft at the end of June and then the beginning of July. And just keep in mind, this isn't like you guys desperately want to get rid of Kat. No, this is a roster puzzle that needs to be solved in the next 12 to 15 months. And it's going to be hard to get a lot for Rudy Gobert at this point after what happened last year. So this is how would you work your way out of this luxury tax conundrum, roster shackling conundrum that lies ahead in 12 to 15 months? Hit us up, Twitter, YouTube comment section. We'd love to hear from you guys. Feedback tab on the Score North app. But that's a wrap on Reckless Speculation Thursday.
Reckless Speculation.
See you guys.